Hi, heroes. This is Stan Lee coming at you. Want you to know, Marvel has always been and always will be a reflection of the world right outside our window. That world may change and evolve, but the one thing that will never change is the way we tell our stories of heroism. Those stories have room for everyone, regardless of their race, gender, religion, or color of their skin. The only things we don't have room for are hatred, intolerance, and bigotry. That man next to you, he's your brother. That woman over there, she's your sister. And that kid walking by, hey, who knows? He may have the proportionate strength of a spider. We're all part of one big family, the human family, and we all come together in the body of Marvel. And you, you're part of that family. You're part of the Marvel universe that moves ever upward and onward to greater glory. In other words, Excelsior!
Pop Culture Meltdown.
Louis, McDonald's once made bubblegum flavored broccoli.
Get out of here.
I swear to God they made
it. No
way. I looked it up. I typed in fun facts and it said that McDonald's made bubblegum flavored broccoli.
No way.
I'm telling you.
No way.
You Google it. Pop Culture Meltdown. It's Chris Libertini. He's Lou Pellegrino.
Yes, I am. And I'm back. I know you missed me.
And we're very upset, Lou. The guy who's pretty much shaped our pop culture.
Are you serious?
Yes, that's happened. I told you it happened.
McDonald's CEO Don Thompson said it wasn't all that. The flavor proved to be confusing to kids, so the broccoli was never introduced.
So what happens when you doubt me?
Bubblegum broccoli was a bubblegum flavored broccoli that McDonald's tested to encourage children to eat more healthily at their outlets. Oh, my God. Last thing I want to think about is broccoli when I walk into McDonald's. All I want are fries.
Here, kid, shove this broccoli in your mouth, you dumb moron.
Want some fries and chicken nuggets with what kind of sauce? What kind of sauce did we want?
Szechuan dipping
sauce. Thank you. There we go. There's the Rick and Morty callback.
So we're
a little too happy today. We have to be a little somber.
Okay. Lou, we're very upset today.
Yeah, it's not a good day.
We
lost a legend.
One
of the guys we thought that never would leave us has left planet Earth, and that is legend, icon, creative mind extraordinaire Stan Lee, who, if you don't know, created some of the greatest comic book action heroes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He is Marvel Comics.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the 50s and 60s, Marvel Comics went to Stan Lee and said, "Got any new ideas?" The Shadow from DC Comics mm-hmm. was cast over Marvel so crazily with Superman, with Batman, with Wonder Woman, that they were like, "You got anything?" And he comes out with all of these amazing comic book characters, Spider-Man, Black Panther, the X-Men, the Hulk, Fantastic Four, Black Widow, Nick Fury, Daredevil, all this crazy amazing things mm-hmm. that if you watch the movie Mallrats, he says are like echoes of himself.
Sure.
The Incredible Hulk, a mild-mannered scientist 1 minute and a rage of emotions the next minute. And Spider-Man, this kid that's
Doctor Doom. That's
Doom.
Me behind the mask.
Right, exactly.
He was great. But of course, Jason Lee's character, Brody Bruce, asks some of the greatest questions of him. Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic, is everything made of plastic? Oh, you know,
right.
What about the Thing? Is his dork made of is his dork made of molten rock? He's like it's a superhero secret.
Well, let's not get any crazy. Let's play that right now because that scene is too good, Lou.
Oh, it's the best.
To not sit here and talk up, literally.
Well, what's with that? That's the second time you've commented on couples in love.
Well, I like that sort of thing. Tell me, do you have a girlfriend, Brody?
Had one. We just broke up. The Thing. Is this dork made of orange rock like the rest of his body?
It's a superhero secret. Tell me, Brody, why did you and your girlfriend break up?
She was a pain in the ass. She wanted me to be this typical boyfriend guy. Said I was too into my own world of comics and all.
Yeah, I can relate. There was a time when it was all about comics for me. You know, I had a girl probably the same as yours. She always complained that I spent too much time with my own comics. And Eventually, we broke up.
See, what did she know? Here you are now, a legend in the field. Probably had a slew of women since her, am I right?
Oh, lots of women. Jagger and me, we had a running contest.
Mick Jagger.
The most.
So good.
Matter of fact, last time I looked, I was way ahead.
Damn, that's hot!
But I never forgot that girl.
Well, did you ever get back together with her?
One day I found out she got married. I had blown it. I had missed my window.
No way. Well, what'd you do?
I went on with my life. I created some special new superheroes. They were characters that reflected my own heartbreak and my own regrets.
How so?
Dr. Doom wears body armor to conceal his own mangled form, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was me beneath the armor. The Hulk. A normal guy one minute, a rage of emotions the next. Just like me when I thought about what I'd given up.
Amazing.
So you created each character as a way to deal with your one big regret.
Yeah, the girl that got away. Look, do yourself a favor, Brody. Don't wait, because all the money...
And all the world.
Even all the comic books in the world, they can't substitute for that.
I don't know.
One person.
All the comic books?
I don't know, all the comics in the world?
I don't know.
Well, good talking to you.
Keep up all the good work.
You keep reading them. I'll keep writing them.
Oh.
I used to say that all the time to people.
Oh, man.
I said, I would that, before I leave, I say, you keep reading them, I'll keep writing.
You know, it's funny because that voice is so recognizable.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
It's been recognizable for years.
Yep. Even when he came on, even when he came on and goes, excuse me, are you Tony Stank?
Right. He is so recognizable now, then, forever. And I could remember waking up on Saturday mornings, and one of my favorite cartoons was Spider-Man. I want to say it was called Spider-Man and Friends because it was Iceman and Firestar. And Angelica Jones, I believe, was Firestar. I can't remember Iceman's name, unfortunately. But it was such a great, great, great cartoon that I never missed it. Never missed it. But even the old school Spider-Man that the Ramones did the remake of the theme song, which is absolutely fantastic.
Oh, tremendous. Here's your Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
There it is.
Here it is right
here. Yep, let me see here.
For Superfan Lou.
God, I haven't seen this in years. Yep, that's it.
So this is what Lou used to wake up. He used to sit there in his little Spider-Man underwear.
And his amazing Iceman! Iceman! Firestar! There she is. And then they show them like sitting in like a living room, and the living room turns into like the there it is, the secret lair. Oh my god, I like remember it like it was yesterday. Yep. There it is. I think there's a dog in the cartoon as well. They had like a pet dog or something.
I love those sound effects.
See, the funny thing is, Iceman, I always thought Iceman was the Silver Surfer, but it wasn't.
No, different.
Right, he was Iceman.
Iceman.
Ooh, that worked. There's the Green Goblin.
Yeah, there he is.
Green Goblin's a very good character.
They're running Dr. Doom.
But they included everybody. And his amazing friend. It was fantastic. Ugh. I love that show.
Now that is like
love
old
that show.
School. That is old school stuff right there.
See, but now what you have to do is you have to pull up the Ramones. You have to pull up the Ramones Spider-Man, which is an absolutely great song from a great cartoon from back in like the late 70s, early 80s. It might even be longer.
So here's Ramones in color, Spider-Man.
It's so great.
Here comes the Spider-Man. And the greatest part about this is, without Stan Lee, none of this would be here. None of this.
Right.
Absolutely none of this. The Ramones, one of the most legendary rock bands in all of time.
Everybody read comic books back. Look, Stan Lee doesn't become Stan Lee without being, popular in the culture and comic books being read and cartoons being made and action figures. You know, I was lucky enough in another life. I was executive producer of a very popular sports show, and we were friends with Todd McFarlane.
Oh, amazing.
And I can remember, now look, these are all Stan Lee's creations, but Todd McFarlane ended up becoming one of the premier Spider-Man artists and creators
All
time.
He brought him back in the late 90s.
Right.
Yeah.
And I remember having Todd McFarlane in studio with us one night, and I go, Todd, I've known you a long time. I've never asked, because I don't ask people for anything, whether it's celebrities, athletes, what have you. Mm-hmm. If it's for a kid, I'll do it. If I know that I'm interviewing or having somebody come in the studio like a Jeremy Roenick, and a kid in my family or a friend of the family has a son who, you know, really loves hockey. Hey, Jay, could you sign this picture? I want to give it to my friend's son who's 7 years old and loves you, you know. All right, and he'll do that. And every athlete I've ever asked to do that, because I don't collect autographs. I don't do pictures. I don't do anything. Very rarely. And this one time I just said to Todd, I go, look, we've been friends a while now. I've never asked you for a thing. I said, I just want you to do one thing for me. He's like, yeah, what do you want me to do? I said, I just want you to draw me something.
Is this McFarlane?
Yeah. I just want you to draw me something. I said, I want you to draw it, dedicate it to me. I'm not trying to sell it. So like to Lou. So I hand him a piece of paper and he takes a Sharpie marker, a black Sharpie marker. And all of a sudden, and if you can remember from the Howard Stern years of when Jackie would write stuff on index cards and you would hear the pen to paper sound.
Yep.
You hear Todd, he's drawing something. He's not even looking at the paper. He's looking at me. And he goes, this should do it. He hands me a perfectly drawn picture of Spider-Man.
Amazing.
Excuse me.
Oof, ah.
He hands me a perfectly drawn picture of Spider-Man. And then he just puts on it, to Lou, you know, best wishes, your friend, Todd McFarlane.
It's crazy.
It was awesome. It was an original piece of McFarlane. Now, granted, this isn't about Todd McFarlane. It's about Stan Lee. But Todd McFarlane doesn't happen if there's no Stan Lee.
Right.
And Stan Lee, every Saturday, like clockwork, I would watch that cartoon. And then when he would show up in things randomly, before the cameos were like a big thing.
Right, before it was a deal.
You watch, you know, you end up watching Mallrats. And there's that scene. Stan Lee's going to be here. Stan Lee, you never expect Stan Lee to show up unless maybe they did put his name in the con. Did they put his name in the, they may have put his name in the credits opening,
I
in the
think
opening
so.
Credits.
I
but,
think so.
But you don't know when he's showing up. And all of a sudden, Stan Lee has these words of wisdom for Brody. And then he ends up walking away. And he's like, oh, yes, the vulture soliloquy. Love be a vulture tonight.
Amazing.
You know, oh, I went back in time and I did, you know, I used this and But, you know, I mean, these are things that are great. And, you know, we talk about it on this podcast all the time. There are certain people who you think will live forever.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I'm wearing a David Bowie t-shirt today.
The boy who fell from Earth.
And the man who fell to Earth.
The man who fell to Earth.
But David Bowie is one of those guys you never expect to see them not walking this planet. Listen, we know everybody passes away at some point, but there are just certain people who seemed immortal.
Right, they live on forever.
Stan Lee was one of those guys, and he will live on forever because we have all of the video, all of his creations. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll never forget, my father and I were in the car once. I was very, very young. And I think a Doors song came on, and the DJ said, you know, this is the anniversary of Jim Morrison's death. And I said, and I, you know, asked my father a question like, Dad, how did he die? And he explained to me how he died very, very properly for the time. You know, he just said, oh, you know, he was addicted and he was found taken too many, you know, too much medication.
Too many,
you know,
cheeseburgers.
Right, exactly. Right. And I mean, because I was probably 7 or 8 at the time, so he was explaining it to me very delicately. But, you know, the thing is, my father said, that's the great thing about radio. They'll never die because they're all, and that's the same thing with this. We have so many great things, whether it's YouTube, anything on social media, and just the comic books themselves. The actual comic books. He's never going to die.
I think what's amazing about this is, you know, for the exact thing that we were just talking about before, you know, yes, he will live on with all these characters, but he gave such a human element to these people.
Yep.
He made them people.
Yeah.
He made them flawed. He made them, you know, like Superman is from another planet, and he's
He's DC. He's
saying it's proper jawline.
Sure,
and,
oh, of course.
And it's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Although Bruce Wayne is flawed, he's a freaking millionaire. I mean, Tony Stark is flawed. But you look at these characters, and you look at the richness of them, and you look at the way that Marvel tells these stories because they're so developed.
I think what Stan Lee did is he made the imperfect perfect and the perfect imperfect, mm-hmm. if that even can be done. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at Spider-Man, okay, now listen, I never read a Spider-Man comic book. I've had them, but I've never read a comic book cover to cover. That doesn't mean I don't appreciate the artwork and right. the imagery and yeah. the, you know, and the storyline. But if you go and look at Spider-Man, the movie with Tobey Maguire, he's perfect because he gets bit by a radioactive spider and he has all of these, you know, powers.
Right.
But he's imperfect because he doesn't know how to juggle them right away. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Uncle Henry is Uncle Henry, Aunt May, and Uncle Henry. Well, his uncle dies. Now, granted, that might be for the effect of the movie, but still, it's the imperfections of somebody who's now perfect. Doctor Doom,
Uncle Ben.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Uncle Ben.
But yeah, but that's the, you know, the whole great power comes great responsibility.
Of course,
Uncle Ben.
Of course.
But yeah, listen, Uncle Ben. Fine, you know, he has all these talents, he has all these things, and it's like, you know, Spider-Man was always the high school kid that was trying to balance calculus and superhero.
Sure.
Being a superhero, like, just unbelievable, which is every kid's dream.
I still think, now granted, we're going to leave the Marvel Universe and go to the DC Universe, but this is all about Stan Lee anyway.
Mm-hmm.
In the Superman movie, one of my favorite things is when Clark has the conversation with his Earth father. And he's like, you could do all of these things and you think you're just going to bust if you can't show the people that you can do this. He's like, Dad, I can get the ball in football and make a touchdown every time.
Right.
You know, and he's like, and I just that's one of those conversations where you sit there and it's like, wow, this is so well done and mm-hmm. so well written. And, you know, I think I'm actually going to invest. I actually have some comic books in my parents' closet in my parents' house. I have some pretty good issues too, if I remember correctly, because I went through the baseball card collecting phase, and then comic books came into being at my grammar school, and this kid John that I used to go to grammar school with was really big into comic books. Like, I can remember when Spider-Man got married, they had his wedding at home plate at Shea Stadium.
Amazing.
And I was at the game, and they gave out a limited edition comic book.
Mm-hmm.
I gave one to the kid in my class, and he was like, anything you want, name anything. And he gave me like Submariner 40, and I was like, is that a good one? He's like, yeah, this is going to be a good one. I'm like, okay. I have all these comic books at home. I have to find them. I really do, because I also like to draw. So Stan Lee inspired me in that way too, because I like to draw, and I actually think of myself as a good artist, you know, who can draw a comic book. Maybe not the Stan Lee and Todd McFarlane level, but I could dabble in it. Not I, don't
I
even
never
wanna,
had. I never.
I don't even
want to
say hold
anything.
My own, because who could say, oh, you know? But I like to draw, and so, you know. But yeah, I definitely this is. I don't want to say it's a crushing blow, but it's definitely, this is one that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Losing him hurts because it was a big part of my childhood. All of these superheroes he created.
Yep, and it's like crazy because I mean the man lived to 95 years.
Right, exactly. We're crying over a 95-year-old man.
You know, obviously we're celebrating him.
Yes,
it's just
course.
More than anything. It's just he was able to bring. Think of how rare it is mm-hmm. for you to be a human being to realize almost all of your dreams, almost all of them. Like he's gotten so many. Things, I guess you could say. He's gotten so many experiences mm-hmm. from him putting a pen to paper and creating Spider-Man to now, how many Spider-Man movies have there been made?
Oh, God.
Think about that. How many
five,
Marvel?
Six?
How many
not including the other ones,
right.
like the originals?
And now the Iron Man movies.
Yep.
And Daredevil on Netflix and, you know, Iron Fist and all of this amazing craziness that he's responsible for.
Right.
And he got to see it. He didn't, you know, he didn't paint a freaking painting 300 years ago, and now it's
right.
being revered as the greatest painting ever known
no,
to man.
My
God, this is the Mona Lisa. No, Spider-Man happened. It exploded. He did freaking cartoons. Then they did movies.
Right.
Now it's in the lexicon of what we talk about in everyday
mm-hmm.
life.
Absolutely.
To where this next movie is going to be, you know, Spider-Man supposedly dies. Now all of a sudden Spider-Man comes back because of the amazing work of your boy Doctor Strange. And he saw the one way that it can happen and, you know, time travel and blah, blah, blah. Now Spider-Man's going to come back.
Yeah.
He saw that. He got a chance to see it. He got a chance to conceptualize it in his little notebook. His parents survived the Depression, or maybe he survived the Depression. He lived 95 years. 95!
Look, he's one of those guys that we're better off for having him. And the fact that we had him for 95 years,
95!
That's very impressive, number one.
Yeah, he wasn't Mama Cass that choked on a ham sandwich over here. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't expect to have a Mamas and the Papas reference today when I got out of bed.
Mama Cass over here all day with a ham sandwich.
And nobody's getting fat except Mama Cass.
But so, you know, you're exactly right. You know, he didn't go early. He realized all his dreams.
Sure.
He got a chance to come out and show everybody everything.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this. Here's that. You know, they made the movie Mallrats. He comes on as the cultural, the cultural explanation of the whole entire movie about life.
God.
And he comes on with these pearls.
I like that sort of thing, Brody.
Yeah, but it's great. Amazing because it just goes to show you he's responsible for everybody's childhood. Just about.
Pretty much.
You sat there and you played with toys.
Everybody knew who he was.
Right.
Everybody knew who he was.
Stan Lee's Spider-Man.
Yep.
Stan Lee's Iron Man.
Everybody knew who he was.
All this amazing stuff that you watched when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't even have to explain it to me. I agree with you.
Even these kids that are growing up now, I walk down the street and there's three kids that I walk by on 7th Avenue over here in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and they're wearing a shield on his chest for Captain America.
Of course.
Do you know how rare it was to see anything Captain America 25 years ago?
What they're doing.
And now all of a sudden Captain America's on
even
every
Iron Man.
Even Iron Man.
Iron Man wasn't I don't think Iron Man was a popular superhero until the movies were made.
Right. I mean, you knew him.
Right.
You knew him. You knew he was out there. But then all of a sudden, you know, they get a brilliant guy to play him
right.
in Robert Downey Jr.
God, yeah.
Who's unbelievably
He's the perfect
amazing.
Tony Stark. The
he's unbelievably
perfect
amazing.
Tony Stark.
And, you know, the guy, he doesn't even really have to act.
No.
He's just himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I like about you. You're always yourself.
Right. So
always yourself.
You know, it's just, I don't know. The everything they do, Marvel, has been so unbelievable.
They never miss the mark.
They never have.
They never miss the mark. As far as I'm concerned, they never miss the mark.
Because they keep it simple, stupid. They
like
make
that.
It happen.
Yeah.
They say, what is this? What makes sense for this? Let's do that. They don't try and recreate the wheel. They don't try and do all this crazy shit. They go, let's have a character development. Let's make it so that it's relatable to Johnny on the street or over here, Lou on the chair or Mikey on the sofa or Charlene in the street corner, whatever it is. Everybody's going to relate to it.
Charlene on the street corner.
Listen, she's very busy, that Charlene.
I guess so.
See those books she's carrying? That's
mm-hmm.
way advanced for her.
Mm-hmm.
Way advanced. But I'm just saying, it's like, you look at all of that, and you look at everything that's happening now with the realization of his dreams, and there's 15 to 20 movies already been created, if not more, with everything that he's done.
I know.
And he's got a cameo in every single one of them. I wonder how they're going to honor him in this new movie.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be to Stan.
They'll have to do something. It's definitely... I mean,
the
it'll
whole
definitely
movie's going to be to Stan.
Right, it'll be dedicated to him, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder if they are going to maybe CGI his appearance in there, maybe take an old clip of him
doing
something.
No, it's been recorded for a while.
Oh, okay.
Well, come on. I saw that they wrapped or almost wrapped.
Okay.
It's been recorded.
Mm.
And not for nothing. They probably did it a couple years ago.
I think sometimes they do that knowing that, hey, this person's in, you know, let's get his lines done now.
Oh, hey, Stan's down the corner. Oh, really? He can record these five scenes. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, you know, you do the obits in the newsroom and, you know, I got one ready for Walter Cronkite. I got one ready for Kurt Cobain. I got ready for this guy. You know, you never know. But getting back to it, Stan Lee, he affected everybody's life. Everybody.
You know what? I didn't even realize he was on Twitter. Todd McFarlane. He posted a picture 17 hours ago. This photo of the real Stan Lee is who this man was. His great superpower was making the people he met feel good about themselves. I personally saw this generosity to his fans, and he did it with genuine joy. I wish all of you could have spent 2 minutes with him.
Love it.
And there's Todd sitting next to Stan in the picture, and he's got Sharpie markers, and he's signing things and drawing things.
And
it's amazing. And they're both smiling. Wow. Oh, Todd, you just gained a follower because I didn't know you were on Twitter. So Todd McFarlane, you're my man. Love you, buddy. I hope you're well and the family's well.
Coming for you, Todd. We're coming for
That's
you.
That's right.
But, I mean, he essentially also changed Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
think of the creative flow that he gave Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
How long was it? Okay, Superman was in the 70s.
Yep.
The late, original late, the, 70s.
Late
70s was
late
the original
70s.
Superman. There was a Spider-Man and Batman thing going on there.
Yeah, but
there
was
TV
still
shows.
But that was still hokey.
Right, there were TV shows. There was the Incredible Hulk. Get it.
Yep.
But just think of the new with the CGI and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm glad he got to see that.
Oh my God.
I'm glad he got to see his dream and his creations come to fruition and almost perfected, if not perfected.
If you look at it, when he first started, DC was casting a shadow over Marvel. And then it...
Yeah,
made it to
then
where
it evened
Mount
out
Marvel,
a little bit. Right.
It evened out to where Marvel now casts a shadow over DC, and they try and do something that DC does so well, and they can't do it.
No, they can't. And you know what? I was always a Marvel guy. I just thought they had the cooler characters.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought they had the cooler characters.
Because they're all well-developed.
Yeah.
I mean, you even look at X-Men. When X-Men came out
in 2000.
Oh, my God.
Wolverine and Colossus are probably two of my, and Cyclops are three of my favorite.
Unbelievable.
Characters.
Unbelievable. And even, you know, you look at Disney, right?
Yeah.
So they bought Marvel Studios. $4 billion.
Jeez.
And they made $18 million over the past decade. Like.
Wow.
Think about that. Not $4, $4,000.
Not even $4
million. Not even $4 million. $4 billion with
yep.
a B.
Mm-hmm.
In 2009 month.
Yeah.
So that's 1 year after the crash, right?
Yeah.
So it crashed in 08. So 2009 for $4 billion.
Yeah.
It's a lot of clams.
It is.
It's a lot of clams. And
it's a lot of spider webs.
A lot of spider webs. And it's just amazing. So, you know, they own that X-Men, Spider-Man, Iron Man in 08, Avengers in 2010,
mm-hmm.
Infinity War 2018,
mm-hmm.
Black Panther.
Yep.
All these are just smashes.
Yeah.
Not even like, whoa, that was a big movie. Remember that? Smashes for 18 years. Easily, since 2000, correct? When the first X-Men came out?
Mm-hmm.
That's 18 years of domination in media. I mean, you look at the king of all media being Howard Stern, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at Stan Lee. Granted, he was never on the radio. He was never on quote-unquote TV.
Right.
But you could look at all of his movies on the silver screen, and you could look at all of his television shows... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., all this, you know, from Batman back in the day to Spider-Man back in the day.
Well, the other thing is you have to realize Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, they create an African-American hero.
Right.
Or comic book character, superhero, okay, from Wakanda, Africa, as we all know, if you've seen the movie.
Of course.
His debut, Fantastic Four, number 52, July 1966. Think of the race relations in the United States around that time.
Yep.
Not exactly the greatest. And here's Stan Lee saying, I don't care. I'm going to make a comic book character that I want to make, and he has different colored skin than everybody else.
Yep.
And now this movie comes to happen, and everybody goes crazy. There's little kids, black and white and Hispanic and whatever. They all want to be Black Panther. That's amazing. That's what Stan Lee was all about, inclusion and treating everybody with respect and treating everybody fairly.
Yep, and it's amazing that you bring up that point and in the race relations back in the 60s and how that was. He
mm-hmm.
just saw through all that bullshit.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? No. We're going to all love each other. I'm going to love, you know, beginning of this podcast we played Stan Lee saying the guy next to you is your brother, the person next door to you is your sister, you know, the whole deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say the kid over there, he could have been bitten by a radioactive spider. You never know.
You never know.
It's just, you know, exactly what you said. It's inclusion. It's love. It's just all about loving each other and being a good human being to another person and being their hero, if you really think about it. You know, that's all he ever really preached was just be your own hero to somebody else.
Absolutely.
And with that, Stan Lee, rest in peace. Every idea that you've ever had, we'll keep watching them.
You will live on forever.
Yep. What is it? You keep reading them. I'll keep writing them.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Stan Lee. We'll see you Friday.
Bye-bye, everybody.
What would you like to say to fans coming to see your work here tonight?
Now, I want to thank them for having spent all these years coming to see my cameos and, of course, watching the movie with it.
You're all things to all people. None of us in the Marvel Universe would have our lives without you. You are the man! Stan the Man.
Hey, sir.
Hi. Hey, we're going to put this all on you. Is it Team Iron Man or Team Cap?
I really don't care. As long as I get a good cameo.
What is it like for you seeing all of these stars celebrating your work tonight?
I'm going to show you why I'm such a great interview subject. It's nice.
Superheroes in New York, cameo.
In other words, Excelsior.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and find us on Instagram at popculturemeltdown. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to dankellyvo.com. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte, our graphic designer Ricky Soto, Tim Einkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudzki. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown with your hosts, Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate them.